This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune. I am Daniel Jones. With me as always is Cameron Teague Robinson. We've made some upgrades to our podcasting equipment, to our investment into the podcast. It's pretty exciting. We got some good things going. We got a lot to talk about too. The timing could not be better. We have men's and women's NCAA tournament talk. So we'll just jump right in. Sunday night, best Selection Sunday for Missouri in a long time. Tigers actually were a part of Selection Sunday for the first time in 5 years. And first of all, what did you think of the selection show that was roundly panned on Twitter and other forms of social media?
Awful. Awful, awful, awful. I just wasn't a fan. I just didn't like the fact that you had to announce the seedings or announce the teams for 10 minutes. That was stupid. Just jump right into the brackets. Although I will say it was nice that when they jumped into the brackets, they just went through all of them, didn't like break anything down. They were just like, here are the seedings.
Yeah.
I do like that they did that, but I thought the whole beginning was just pointless.
The automatic qualifiers was totally pointless.
It was so, because they already know they're in.
No, everybody knew.
Yeah, everybody knew. I think half the enjoyment of Selection Sunday is the suspense of like, one, knowing where you're going, and two, knowing what your seed is. And I thought they could you get all that perfectly by just announcing the brackets.
Yeah,
I just didn't think it was worth it. I don't know.
I don't like how they went through it alphabetically. Like that if you're like who's a team like Notre Dame, and you're waiting for your name to be called, it's like okay, North Carolina. Went to Oklahoma.
Yeah,
we're not in. I guess we're out. Exactly. Yeah, it's not like oh, these teams are out. Right. These teams are in.
Right, and because when you have the bracket. You're going from 1 to 16 in each region. So, like, you're going through each region, you're like, okay, we still got a chance. But, like, when you just, like you said, you go from who's the team you used?
Notre Dame.
And you just skip over the ends and go to Oklahoma. You're just like, well, I'm turning this off.
Right.
It's just, I don't know.
Somebody from the Kansas City Star, Sam Mellinger, pointed out that there were actually two mistakes in the alphabet.
Really?
Yeah. They had TCU ahead of Texas A&M, I think. Because Texas Christian is technically after Texas A&M.
Yeah, but they use the abbreviation.
And they had North Carolina State ahead of North Carolina or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
They also called Bruce Pearl Mike Pearl.
Right. And the audio was not matched up to the video.
Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
Just all around.
Disaster.
I just wish they'd go back to how it used to be.
Also, get rid of the studio audience.
Yes. It's so bad.
Why are they there?
Oh, it's so
bad. Why don't you go
bad.
Home and watch it on TV like right. everybody else?
I remember looking, because I was sitting next to Joe Waljasper, and I looked at Joe. I go, do they have a studio audience? And he goes, yes. I go, this is the stupidest thing.
Pointless.
It was so pointless.
Totally pointless. Okay, let's talk about Missouri.
Yeah.
And specifically, we'll start with Missouri's opponent.
Yep.
Florida State, which number 9 seed.
Yep.
Leonard Hamilton. Florida State had a really good team last year and lost 3 players to the NBA, including Jonathan Isaac, who was a lottery pick. So now, what's this team's strength and who's their player to watch?
They've got a lot of. I wouldn't say they really have like one player to watch. They play a lot of guys. You won't see a guy on this roster who plays more than 29 minutes. They go 10 deep and they go 10 deep no matter what. Their strength right now is just shot blocking, in my opinion. They are one of the best teams in the country in shot blocking, and that's because they have 2 7-footers. And one of their 7-footers, I knew this was going to come up. I can't pronounce this guy's name. Ike Abuyeji. Not even going to try. that was awful. He plays like 11 minutes a game, but is like six in the country in blocks.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a seven footer who is Chris Kumaji. I got that one.
Okay.
He's also a really good shot blocker as well. 7'4" will be the second tallest player Missouri's played outside Taco Fall from Central Florida, which seemed to go well for Missouri.
Yeah,
but so they do block a ton of shots. So Missouri going inside won't be great unless Jeremiah Tillman stays out of foul trouble, because I think he's able to kind of maneuver amongst the trees. They're not And like I said, they don't have a true go-to guy. Their leading scorer is Terrence Mann. He's averaging 13.2. Mm-hmm. Phil Kofor is averaging 13, and then Brian Angola is averaging 12.9. So they have three double-digit scores. They're kind of just a balanced team that can score pretty well. They average 81 a game and give up 74. So they want to get up and down a little bit more than Missouri does.
It seems to me that it can be a good matchup for Missouri in a lot of ways, but the one thing that it could be a really bad matchup if Florida State turns up the tempo.
Yes.
Because not only is Mizzou shorthanded, they have seven guys on scholarship.
Yeah.
And if you get any of them in foul trouble, then you're down to seven, maybe six.
Right.
And those guys playing an up-tempo game.
And it's not like Missouri has guys who are like, it's not like we're saying they have seven guys that you can play and you have a few who like you don't want to play. They have eight guys, period.
Like Brett Rauch probably going to play 7 or 8 or 9 minutes.
Right. And if he gets in foul trouble, he's going to have to, if Jordan Geis or Cassius get in foul trouble, he's going to have to play 15 minutes.
Who is the one guy who cannot afford to be in
Cassius.
Foul trouble?
Cassius.
I think which is good. He's hardly ever in foul trouble.
Right. I think he's one of the top 100 players in the country in terms of staying on the floor.
But he's, in your mind, the most irreplaceable person.
Because he's a guard who, he doesn't have to play all, he doesn't have to bring the ball up, but he can. He can score off the ball. I mean, you could say Mike if you want to, but Cassius is more important to this team just because of the depth at guard. If Cassius goes out, that means you have to play a backcourt of Jordan Geist and Brett Rauch. And that just doesn't have the scoring ability if Cassius is in the game.
Does it have any scoring ability? If Jordan Geist gets loose on a screen, a pop-up screen, I mean, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's shooting like 36% from deep this year or something like that. It's better than last year, but still, it's not something that strikes fear in an opponent like Cassius coming off a screen.
You said something the other day after Mizzou played Georgia. Brett Rauch has to hit a shot.
Yeah, he does. And he has to hit a shot, and he has to take shots because people aren't guarding him. Mm-hmm. And I think you said like they're not going to guard him even if he does make a shot. But like still, like I think he does have to take a shot just so people know there's a threat of him shooting the ball.
To keep people honest.
Right. If not, Missouri's playing 4-on-5 offensively. And that's just, I don't care who's on the floor. You could have Michael Jordan on the floor, and 4-on-5 offensively isn't going to go your way.
Yeah. Michael Jordan against Florida State?
4-on-5? No, I'm still taking
Florida State.
He's not Colin Sexton.
Says the guy from Cleveland.
He's not Colin Sexton.
Okay.
Colin Sexton can play 3-on-5.
Whatever.
No,
they did play 3-on-5. Who was that team that
Minnesota,
they played?
Minnesota. And Kyle Sexton is.
And they almost won.
They almost won. But you get what I'm saying.
Like, yeah.
Missouri has to get something out of Brett Rauch. Whether he doesn't have to score, he just has to be a threat so that they have to guard him a tiny bit. Just because if not, it's just going to clog everything up.
What is Mizzou going to do without Jordan Barnett, who is not going to play in the first round game against Florida State, but may play in the game? If Mizzou wins that game...
Right, he could play Sunday.
He could play, or did Konzo say he would play?
It's a possibility.
Possibility.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's as much as we know. What does Mizzou miss without Jordan Barnett?
Just three-point shooting. Yeah, and Florida State doesn't defend the three very well. You're looking at a team that... gives up, I think, 36% from deep, and Missouri shoots about 35 or 37 from deep. I think it's something around there. So you're looking at a Missouri team that's going to lose a 41% three-point shooter, and perimeter-wise is one of their most improved defenders this year, especially for a team. And even more so, his length is going to be a big, I guess, loss because Florida State's a very long team. They don't have normal, like, 6'1", 6'2" guards. The shortest guard is 6'2". They run 6'4", 6'5", 6'6" out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to miss that with him. He's going to be a big loss, bigger than some people think, even though, like, he checks in and out sometimes. But just his presence out there is going to be big, which means Mike's going to have to play well.
That leads me into the next thing I felt like we need to talk about. What kind of role does Michael Porter need to play? I think it was really interesting, like coming into his first game, Konzo was really adamant that, you know, Mike is who he is. Mm-hmm. He's not gonna come in and be a role player. He's never been a role player.
Right.
He does. I mean, like, I don't think Michael could do that if he wanted to, because he's never had that role. So as soon as he gets back, takes 17 shots, even though he was 5 of 17,
yeah.
But he was like 4 of 16 or 3 of 16 in the first half or something like that. I mean, he was like ice cold, but he was still shooting. I mean, that's how he knows how to play, and it's like. He did not have the pop, the athleticism that he's used to, and so that style and that athleticism doesn't really, it's not a good fit because right. Michael Porter's trying to go to the hole and score, but he doesn't have the spring. Like he could not get around or over Georgia's defenders to score
right.
like he is normally capable of doing. What kind of role does Michael have to play in this first round game? Like, does he need to be the guy, the leading scorer? I mean, I don't really see him being a guy that can go in and just like play good defense and get rebounds and shoot free throws.
Yeah.
What does Mizzou need from him?
No, Mike is just going to have to be Michael. Just going to be you. I guess that's a cliche way of putting it, but he has to just go in and play his game. I think they're going to need him to shoot the ball without Jordan Barnett there, because if he doesn't, you can't open up things with Cassius. I think Cassius is probably going to be your leading scorer tomorrow just because of the way Florida State plays. But I can see Michael, I can see him probably taking 15 to 20 shots again, because I think he's going to be open from deep. And I think you're going to see him probably knock down a few more shots than he did the other night.
I don't think he's ever going to be a 40% three-point shooter.
Because he shoots so many.
Yeah, he's got a great-looking stroke, but right. I don't think he's ever been that guy. One thing he did not do against Georgia, didn't ever get to the free throw line.
No.
Not one single time.
Yeah.
The only two people who shot free throws for Mizzou were Jontay Porter and Jordan Geist.
Yeah.
If Mike, like, Mike scored 20 points against Kansas, even though he was 6 of 20 or something like that from the floor, because he
got to the free throw line.
Getting to the free throw line. That's where he makes a lot of his money, and he didn't do that at all against Georgia.
And
I think that has to change.
Right, and I think it's going to be a test because he's going to need to get – and I think him getting to the free throw line will be a benefit for Missouri because he'll be able to get Florida State's bigs in foul trouble. Now, Florida State's bigs don't get in foul trouble a lot, but if he's able to get there and get to the basket, if he's feeling more explosive than he was in the past, I think that tends to help Missouri.
It slows down the game a little bit too.
Yeah.
If there are fouls called, game slows down.
Right, and that's, you don't want to play up tempo with this Florida State team.
Yeah, and you don't want to be chasing the game. You don't want the fouls called on you either, as we learned against, in their game against Georgia, that they have the potential to do that. But it slows the game down, helps create a better pace.
Without a doubt.
So while we're talking about men's basketball, came across something cool yesterday on Reddit, and it's a game where they ask these questions and you're trying to give the most unique, correct answer for what's going to happen in the NCAA tournament. So the idea is to give an answer that nobody else will give, but that is also correct.
Okay.
So you and I were kind of looking at these earlier. This is kind of a good way to kind of like break down what else is going on in the bracket without like filling out the entire bracket on the podcast.
Yep.
But let's go through some of these questions that were asked. So the first one, name a team that will win their first round game, aka the round of 64. So not the first four. First round game by 10 or more points. And you're trying to give the most unique answer.
Okay.
Who's your pick?
Would you go with your pick first?
I asked a question.
But my pick is based off your pick.
What do you mean your pick is based off my pick?
Well, I did, for what it's worth, guys.
You're just going to say exactly what I'm going to say?
No, I, for what it's worth, I think people should know that I saw your answers. Like, Danny emailed me the idea with his answer so I can understand what's going on. So I picked this answer, not off Danny's pick, but just, it's a
because it was really smart and you thought you should
No, I didn't
duplicate
pick your answer.
Okay.
All right, whatever. I picked Arizona to beat Buffalo by more than 10.
Okay.
Just because, I think Buffalo's all right. They're from my MAC conference. Shout out to the MAC.
Wes Clark.
Yeah.
Former Missouri player led the, what are they?
Buffalo Bulls.
The Bulls.
Yeah.
Led the Bulls to a MAC title.
But they just have nobody stop DeAndre Ayton. In my opinion, he's the best player in the country. I think they'll run through Buffalo.
I picked Tennessee, which plays Wright State.
Yeah.
So like,
again, another Ohio team. Shout out Ohio.
So obviously you could pick Villanova,
but you didn't want to pick a one seed.
Right.
And see, what I was saying was I picked Arizona because it's a four seed. I didn't know how we were going seed wise when I saw you pick Tennessee for a three seed. I was like, okay, I can go four seed.
I've seen people pick post their brackets to Twitter that picked Arizona to win the championship.
That's possible, but I don't think that's going to happen.
God, can you imagine the NCAA if Arizona won the championship?
They'd be like, cancel it. Cancel it. This didn't happen. Asterisk.
Take that trophy. Go put it in the warehouse.
Exactly.
We're not letting it see the light of day.
Exactly.
Do you buy into this idea that they kept Oklahoma State and
was it USC?
USC
and Louisville.
And Louisville out of the tournament?
No, I don't.
Because of the FBI sanctions?
No, I don't. I just, there's always... teams that get in and they don't get in that we have really big questions about. I just think that it just seems that way this year because of the FBI sanctions. If that was the case, Arizona probably wouldn't be a 4 seed. They'd probably be like a 7 seed.
I mean, I think you could make the case that Arizona could be like a 2 seed.
Yeah, well, they lost a lot of games this year.
They kind of started off slow. Right. I mean, they've rolled through the Pac-12.
Right, and the Pac-12 isn't great this year. So, but I think I was legitimately surprised USC wasn't in.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. I'll answer this one since you answer first last time.
I don't remember what numbers we're doing.
3.
Okay, awesome. I like this one.
Name a player who will score at least 37 points combined in rounds 1 and 2, a.k.a. the rounds of 64 and 32.
Yeah.
Mizzou fans should recognize this name. Jonathan Williams III for Gonzaga.
Yep, yep. That's good.
He was great in the West Coast Conference Championship in the tournament. He's been great for Gonzaga all year.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I think... pretty good chance he scores a lot, and I think there's also a pretty good chance that Gonzaga makes it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, it's funny because our picks, if they went on, what would that be, the 15th Thursday, would play each other. I picked Keon Bates-Diop from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
He's without a doubt Ohio State's best player. I think he's one of the best players and scorers in the country. I think San Diego State could be an upset pick for a lot of people, but I think if Ohio State gets to the Sweet 16, it's because he just gets buckets game it for both games. He's going to have to legitimately carry them past Gonzaga.
Yeah. Fair. So okay. That's my felt like Jonathan. I did think about Bates Diop, but I felt like Jonathan Williams III was a little bit more under the radar. You know, playing up he's playing in Spokane.
Gonzaga's games knows Gonzaga, though.
Yeah, who knows?
Just Jonathan playing in Williams, a bad conference, that didn't mean him under the radar.
Could you name anybody else on Gonzaga's roster right now?
Come on. It's on the spot. I couldn't name anyone else on Ohio State's roster.
Yeah, I thought they had great exposure. Okay. All right.
I honestly couldn't name anybody. I'm trying to pick a random team.
Wright State.
It's 0 people.
Okay. Next question. Name a game that will be decided by 3 points or fewer. Now, in the original question, it said that this could also be a hypothetical matchup. So, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the first round. It could be in any round.
Lame. You could just make something up.
I mean, you could, but if it doesn't happen, then you automatically lose.
Yeah.
What was your answer to that question?
I picked Clemson and New Mexico State just because they're both very good defensive teams. I think they're both averaging like 60, giving up 66 points a game or something around there.
You found the matchup. I was looking for a matchup that would be slow, where teams would score less, so it'd give it a better probability of being
close. And I think New Mexico State has a chance to win that game, and I think if they do, it has to be really slow-paced, and it's probably come down to the last basket. So I thought that was my best bet for that pick.
I picked Nevada and Texas, 7-10 matchup in the...
Mo Bamba.
Yeah, he's gonna keep the game close. I think Nevada plays really, really fast, so I didn't really go by my own rule there, but I feel like that'll be a really, really close game in the first round. Nevada's the 7 seed. Texas is the 10 seed. That's right.
I know we talked about only doing one more, so I'm going to throw one more in here, actually.
Yeah.
Name a player who will score at least 8 points in an Elite Eight game.
Oh, yeah. Me?
Go ahead, yeah.
Wendell Carter for Duke.
That's a good pick.
Thank you.
I like that pick.
Thank you.
Yeah, not for bias reasons.
Duke fan.
I like that pick.
Wish you would have picked that yourself.
Yeah. Well, I actually picked Duke's rival, North Carolina. I picked Theo Pinson, North Carolina. Just because, I mean, he's not a big contributor to that team, but I think if North Carolina is going to play well, he's going to have to.
You almost have to pick somebody that you know is going to be playing in the Elite Eight. So it's going to be from like one of the upper echelon
teams. Yeah. Plus, North Carolina just got the easiest walk to the Elite Eight possible. Other than Michigan, I don't really see a team challenging them.
Yeah.
In the bottom of the West. So, okay. And then lastly, name a team that will make the Sweet 16.
You were excited about your pick for this one.
I was. I'm going to go last because this is going to be like a mic drop situation, even though the podcast won't be over.
I picked Florida, which I guess would be my...
That's fair.
When you think of... I feel like Florida... Everybody's given a lot of love to St. Bonaventure, which is fine, but I don't know. I feel like Florida, like a lot of other teams in the bracket, but I still feel like there's so much like left in
the
tank.
Your SEC pick?
They were. Oh. I thought they would win the conference.
Just the love of Florida.
I'm just saying. I still stand by my original thought that they're that good. Yeah. They have Chris Chuiza, who is assassin right. in the NCAA tournament.
And they don't turn the ball over, which is always big in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I feel good about Florida this year.
That pick also makes sense because I think Stephen F. Austin is going to beat Texas Tech, which was another question, but we won't get to that.
Right.
My Sweet 16 pick. And this may be a little... I don't know why I picked this.
Already doubting yourself.
No, I'm not doubting it. I think I have it for bias reasons, and I'll explain the bias reasons. My Sweet 16 pick is Missouri.
Wow.
Because I really want to go to L.A.
Okay.
But no, honestly, I think they
Homer.
Beat... yeah, exactly. I think they beat Florida State on Friday, and Xavier's a good team. They score a lot, but they don't play much defense. I think if Jordan Barnett's back, I think they have a good chance to win that game as well. Also, I really want to go to L.A., so I figure if I speak it into the universe, it'll happen.
Do you remember when I picked Missouri to win the SEC tournament?
I do. Remember when your SEC picks just struggled?
Remember when I picked the right runner-up? I said Tennessee was going to go to the championship game and lose, and I nailed that one.
Yeah.
I nailed that pick. I was all over that.
You don't get to pick that, even though the team who you picked to win championship.
I was all over that one.
Okay.
All right, let's transition to women's basketball.
All right.
So the women found out yesterday on Monday that they're going to be a 5 seed. They're going to play their first-round game against Florida Gulf Coast on Saturday at 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
If they win that game, they play the winner of Stanford and Gonzaga.
Yep.
Games will be in Palo Alto. Got great news from the Tribune yesterday. They approved me to go and follow the team and cover the games in Palo Alto,
guys,
so I'm pumped.
Can you believe Danny didn't want to switch with me and go to Nashville?
Hey, man, you had already made all your travel arrangements. I was just, filling in the gaps.
I could have just changed the name.
I was just filling in the gaps. Hunter Dyke, our photographer, who has been with us on a couple of different road trips to go to Lexington and St. Louis, wants to know if I'm going to take flip-flops to go to Palo Alto. I would love to, but it's supposed to rain every day I'm there.
Oh, well, good.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, buddy. No, so I probably will not take flip-flops. It's going to be like Northern California has different weather from the rest of the entire United States.
Yeah.
Like their spring is like kind of like everybody else's like winter.
Yeah.
And their summer is like everybody else's spring.
Right.
And their fall is like summer.
Yeah.
So it's going to be nice.
Yeah,
I'm not complaining, but I probably won't wear flip-flops.
You'll probably find some time where it's not raining to get out and see the sights.
I plan to.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun trip, Cam.
I'm sure it will be.
You're going to Nashville. There's nothing to complain about.
Oh, no.
There.
I'm not complaining too much, but I mean, California.
Okay.
That's why I picked the Sweet 16.
Enough about us. So what... I think there was not maybe surprise. I think there was disappointment that the women did not get a top 4 seed. They had that as a goal all season to get a top 4 seed, which would allow them to host.
Right.
And they just missed out on it. I think the last week or two of the regular season and the conference tournament kind of just sealed that in stone. I think if they would have, even if they would have lost those games close, it might not have. They might not have fallen as far as they did. They were an 11 seed. They were the 11 overall seed the last time the NCAA did a bracket reveal, which was February 20th.
Right.
So from February 20th to yesterday, they fell from 7 or from 11 all the way to at least 17.
But I think the loss to Texas A&M really hurt. But honestly, I think if they would have beat Georgia, they probably would have been fine.
Oh, I agree with that too.
Yeah, because Georgia is one of the top 4 seeds, and if you look at that, honestly, it's like a flip flop of. Georgia beat Mizzou twice. Give it to them.
In talking with Charlie Cream, who is ESPN's women's basketball bracketologist, he's the one that does the projections for the bracket for ESPN. He said that one of the things about Missouri, one of the reasons he had them falling, he projected them as a 5 seed, so he got it right, was that the NCAA, with all their criteria and how they seed teams, there's like a million different things and they're all fluid, so like one isn't more, the most important, one isn't more important than the others. But one of the things that he pointed out was like Missouri seems to have lost this ability to elevate. That's like one of the criteria that they use to seed teams, which is like how high is your ceiling? And earlier in the year, Missouri beat South Carolina, beat Tennessee. Those are their two best wins of the year. So obviously they have the potential to beat some really good teams. And South Carolina was a 2 seed and Tennessee was a 3 seed. But in the last week and a half, Charlie Cream, and he says some of the people that he talked to, lost that confidence in Missouri to elevate to the occasion. So maybe it's, I think you saw like a more vulnerable Sophie Cunningham in the last three games against Texas A&M and against Ole Miss and against Georgia. I think you saw maybe a worn down and tired, at the end of a long season, Sierra Porter, who's, you know, had kind of knee problems throughout her career.
Right.
And maybe, you know, Jordan Frerichs wasn't playing up to her usual standard either. So I don't know if those are things that Missouri can get back, but I think that was kind of also a contributing factor in why Missouri ended up as a 5 seed and not a 4 seed.
Right. It's kind of weird criteria to have. You'd like them to just be everything. It should be statistical and numbers.
Yeah. And the way Charlie explained it was, it's not the eye test. He says, he's like, I don't know, the way he explained it was, it's not really the eye test,
yeah,
but it's a way of like looking at a team. And if you're somebody that watches basketball a lot and you see something in a team that, man, this team, you know, is so good, they have so much potential in what they do.
Right.
They just played a really tough schedule, or they just have lost a lot of close games. The committee or whoever's on it can use that as a kind of an excuse to bump up their seeding,
yeah, okay,
or bring it down.
Right. And that's,
so it's almost a way of kind of counterbalancing.
And it's probably where you saw them fall after they got blown out by Texas A&M.
Yeah, they lost. I mean, two of their worst losses of the season were in the last three games.
Right.
So yeah, I think that maybe takes some of the air out of their seed. But nonetheless, yeah, I mean, still, 5 seed's the best they've had since 1984.
Still a team that could make a run.
I agree. We're about to talk about that here in a second. Stanford is... Missouri is 24-7. Stanford is, I'm looking at the bracket right now. So they have 10 losses, which is the most by any top four seed in the bracket.
Their RPI is like ridiculously high though, isn't it?
So what happened with Stanford is their non-conference schedule was ridiculous. They played UConn, they played Mississippi State, they played, I believe, Louisville, all in non-con. They had a crazy non-con schedule and lost a lot of those games.
And all three of those teams, aren't they 1 seeds?
Yeah,
yep.
Some of those games were close, but I mean, at the same time, those aren't games that you're going to be punished for,
right,
later,
because exactly,
you went out and actually played them.
Right.
And in addition to that, while Missouri kind of stumbled at the end of the season, Stanford made it all the way to the championship game of the Pac-12. They got killed by Oregon in the championship, but still the fact that they made it to the championship, I think, helped them out. So Stanford is a really good team. It's kind of hard to base their potential off their schedule because they played such a difficult schedule.
Right.
But they, I mean, I would say for a 4 seed, they're about as vulnerable as you could get.
Yeah. And honestly, I think both these Mizzou teams pretty much got anything and everything you could ask for outside of hosting. I think both teams got teams that are pretty vulnerable on their way to a potential Sweet 16.
Right. And we're talking about Stanford, who Mizzou would play in the second round.
Right.
But we should talk about Florida Gulf Coast,
yeah,
who they play in the first round. Florida Gulf Coast's stats are crazy.
Yeah, you told me the stat the other day, and I was just like mind blown.
Florida Gulf Coast has shot 1,126 three-pointers this year. They have shot 2,113 total field goals. So more than half of their field goal attempts, shots from the field, have been from three-point range.
It's nuts. It's like they just walk down the court and chuck them.
Yeah. That averages out to about 30, I want to say 31, it's over 30,
mm-hmm,
three-pointers a game attempted. They've also made 407 three-pointers, which averages out to about 12 a game. That's
absurd.
More than any other team in the country, too.
Yeah.
So they are chuckers. They have two players who have shot more than 200 threes. They have... six players who have shot at least 100 in 34 games this season. So that's their offense.
Right.
They will live and die by the three-pointer, and they live more than they die. They average 78 points a game. They're in the top 10 in scoring differential in the NCAA this year across the country. So when they win big. The Atlantic Sun was not a very competitive conference this year, so that might have helped too. But Florida Gulf Coast is not going to be an easy out. You've got to shut them down. You can't let them kill you on the three-point line. So that's going to be pretty much the game for Missouri. You might see them kind of slow the game down a little bit.
Yeah.
Try and limit those three-point opportunities, because if they're taking 43 pointers and they make 36% of them, that's somewhere in the neighborhood of what? Like I'm trying to do the math in my head, 8 3-pointers.
Yeah.
So that's 24 points on threes alone, and you got to find a way to make that up. Missouri's a good 3-point shooting team, but I don't think they're that good.
Right. I grew up in a basketball family, and my cousins, all my family could shoot. Other than me, and the thing that we were always told is that when you defend 3-point shooters, the best thing you could do is just like stay near them, and like just like get them out of their rhythm. Whether you're bumping them off a cut or off a screen, or just kind of like just touching them a little bit. Missouri has no problem being a very physical. They are a very gritty team, so I think you'll see them try to just kind of slow the timing down for the Gokos. I don't think they're going to go out there and just try to like shove people and play dirty and pick up fouls for no reason. And I think they're already a physical team, and I wonder how Florida Gulf Coast will handle Missouri's physical.
Missouri is a team that's really good at getting under other teams' skin.
Right.
And I think the games that they've lost this season, the ones where they've looked particularly bad, are games where they have not been the aggressors.
Right. Teams have been like, okay, let's go.
They've out-physical Missouri.
Right.
They've kind of pushed them around a little bit. That definitely happened in the two games against Georgia.
Right.
So maybe Florida Gulf Coast won't do that.
Yeah.
I think that could be a game Missouri wins on that merit, that
right.
they kind of win the mental battle
right.
and Florida Gulf Coast gets out of it. I mean, it's not going to be a game where Missouri can play 35 minutes and win.
Oh, no, yeah.
I mean, if you let Florida Gulf Coast get on a run from three, then you're going to be in hot water. They lost by 2 last year in the first round. They played Miami. And fun fact, so Missouri women played 2 teams from Florida last year,
mm-hmm.
Florida State and South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri, the men, will play Florida State in the tournament. And Missouri women will play Florida Gulf Coast. So that's 4 straight matchups against teams from Florida in the NCAA tournament.
Florida loves Missouri.
How about that?
Yeah.
So more coming out of the women's bracket later this week. We'll have lots of updates on our blog and on our website and on Twitter.
We'll also have a pretty large, like for subscribers, they know that we do like a blowout for before football games called Tiger Extra. We'll kind of do a blowout for the NCAA tournament. We'll kind of just mix both the men's and the women's tournaments together and that blowout. So it'd be pretty cool. If you don't subscribe to the Tribune, you should be subscribed to the Tribune.
100%, especially for tournament time.
Also subscribe to our podcast.
You should. And we do have one more thing that we have that we're going to talk about. Cam's pretty excited about this.
I don't know if excited's a word.
What is like, the word? Anxious?
Yeah, probably anxious.
More anxious than
stressed,
excited?
Stressed.
Okay.
The 15, 20 minutes I spent doing this was pretty stressful.
So this week on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Carrington Harrison, who has been on this podcast, radio personality out of Kansas City on 610 Sports, put together a Kanye West Madness bracket.
Yep.
It is 64 Kanye West songs seeded and placed into an NCAA tournament style bracket. And it has gone nuts on social media.
Yeah.
Jordan Matthews
filled
out a bracket. Jordan Matthews filled out a bracket.
Really?
Chris Long filled out a bracket. Bomani Jones has talked about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of influential people that have caught wind of this. And
it's a really cool thing.
It is pretty cool. The way it's set up, it's done professionally. It's clean. I don't think there's been a lot of arguments on seating. I think that's there may have been a couple.
There's a few, but not enough where you're just like livid about
it. There's legitimacy to the bracket. There was a lot of time spent on putting it together.
Yeah, 100%. I think they had a panel when they got together and kind of just discussed a few things here and there.
And it's definitely encouraging you to go through the songs and listen to them and re-listen to them and kind of like, oh yeah, I really like that song.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Danny brought this idea up. I told him before Carrington had even put on Twitter about this idea, I was working on the Kevin Perger story that ran a week ago.
And check it out if you haven't read it. It's really good.
Appreciate it. And when I write those type of stories, I either listen to Kendrick Lamar or Kanye West. And I was on a Kanye West binge, and I listened to every album Kanye's put out. But I swear, before Carrington did this, and I was just like, this is so perfect. This is perfect timing.
Now you're that guy.
I'm telling you.
Had the idea first.
Well, no, not the idea of the bracket, but like I listened to the songs, and this is like so, I love this. This is tremendous. I love Kanye West.
So you did spend a lot of time filling out your entire bracket.
Yeah.
I did not fill out the entire bracket, but I did pick a Final Four and a champion.
I did.
Would you say your Kanye taste changed during this recent binge?
No. No, I'm an old school Kanye fan. My favorite, my okay, the album that made me start liking hip hop, and I think my favorite album was College Dropout. His very first album. That's the album when I started getting into hip hop. I think his best album is My Dark Twisted Fantasy. But I'm an old Kanye fan. Late Registration, College Dropout, Graduation. I even like 808s and Heartbreaks. I love My Dark Twisted Fantasy as well. So I'm a Kanye fan in general, but mm-hmm. old school Kanye is amazing to me.
Okay. So let's start with, do you want to do your final four?
Yeah.
What was the most difficult matchup? What was the one that you agonized over the longest?
It was
the
first round matchup. It was 13 seed and a 4 seed as Diamonds from Sierra Leone, which is on Late Registration. It was a bonus track on Late Registration. And then Dark Fantasy, which is the intro track on my Dark Twisted Fantasy. And it was hard for me because Dark Fantasy like came out when it was a really, I don't want to say tough time, but I was like going through some stuff. And that song hit me. Like, cause there's a line in there, which is kind of, I'm not going to say. But it's just, it hit me, and I was just like, this is really, really deep. And then Diamonds from Sierra Leone has my absolute favorite Kanye West line of all time. No, maybe not my favorite of all time, but it's just like, I listen to it, and I'm just like, this line's tremendous.
Which you quoted to me earlier.
Yeah.
Not exactly podcast friendly.
No, no, not at all.
Which is unfortunate because I would love to hear you say it.
Yeah.
I would love to hear you say
but
it right
it's,
now.
So I told Danny can know. Like I told him, I don't know if you heard that line before.
I have not.
But I love it.
Not like that.
Yeah.
Not like when you gave it to me.
I can tell you.
You should. So everybody go listen to the song and find your favorite line, and maybe it's Cam's favorite
line
too.
Maybe it's mine. But yeah, that was my hardest one. Like I had.
Who won? Who won the matchup?
Diamonds from Sierra Leone. Just because of that verse, it was really good.
Okay,
but if I had to do that, that's where my thing comes in. I think Dark Twisted Fantasy was seated too low.
There are like seven matchups on your bracket that are scratched out. Some of them scratched out twice because you chose and then went back. We actually had the same winner for a short time before you changed your mind and put a different one on there.
I did.
So my four that I picked, there were some. I would say it was less agonizing for me than it was for you, but I really like Graduation. I think it's his best album. I had Flashing Lights as one, beating out Can't Tell Me Nothing, and Through the Wire. I had Good Life. I had Power. I think, so there's this bracket on the top right, which has got like all of Kanye's like most famous songs, like Stronger and Gold Digger and Power.
Yeah.
Are all in there. So I had Power going and Touch the Sky.
Okay.
So those are my final four.
That's not bad. My final four, in the top left bracket, it's called the Northwest bracket after one of his kids.
Right.
I had Through the Wire beating out Last Call, which is tough for me. So I actually had Last Call winning that matchup and then switched it at the last minute just because of how deep Through the Wire is. Then I had in the bottom left, I had All Falls Down and... was it Good Life?
Yeah.
I had All Falls Down there. And then the top right, I had Stronger beating out Good Morning. And then I had Touch the Sky beating out Gorgeous in the bottom right.
You want to hear something funny?
What?
So I asked Hunter, who is a big rap and hip-hop guy,
mm-hmm.
which Kanye song was his favorite.
Yes.
And his first response was, probably Stronger because it has my last name in it.
I don't like Hunter. I don't like Hunter. He's not coming to Nashville. And Hunter, I hope you're listening to this podcast because I'm leaving without you to Nashville tomorrow.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what was your final?
My final was Good Life against Touch the Sky.
Okay, that's fair.
I will now play for you my champion briefly. We're not going to play for too long. We don't want to get like copyright.
Yeah. Don't yell at us, Kanye. I love you. I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly.
For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Yeah, not bad.
I had to hold myself back from singing.
Okay. What's your final?
I had Through the Wire against Touch the Sky. And I don't know if Danny, you want me to just say mine? Or do you already know what it is?
I know what it is.
Okay, well, you can plus play it.
All right, you ready?
Yep. Yo, G. It
what's your best memory of listening to this song?
Oh, dude, just the whole album. Late Registration is a great album. I don't know, man. I was a kid. I was in high school. Me and my friends used to like dissect these albums in study halls. But no, I picked this one just because, like, I don't know if you knew this.
That was Through the Wire, by the way, right, for anybody that didn't know that. And mine was Touch the Sky.
He did the first verse with his mouth wired shut. That's why it's called Through the Wire, because he got in a car accident. That's what the song's about. It's really, really deep. So
good context.
Yeah, I love that song. But if I did this again, I'd probably choose 16 different things. I love Kanye.
You had Touch the Sky winning the first time.
I did. I had Touch the Sky over Last Call.
And I'm glad you changed, because I hate when we pick the same thing at the end.
Touch the Sky's a good song. I love Touch the Sky.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah.
I definitely have been listening to a lot of Kanye in the last week to try to educate myself on the bracket, fill in some of the gaps. I mean, 64 songs, it's a lot to catch up on in a short amount of time.
And it's not even all the songs. I think this is what they ended up having as the 64 best songs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. Props to Carrington.
I like the, definitely. I like the idea of doing this with different artists too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good way of creating discussion.
If they did this with like a Kendrick Lamar, I'd like lose my mind. I don't know who.
You would never leave your apartment.
Never leave my apartment.
You would constantly. Nope. You would be filling that out for months.
Yeah, probably.
And your taste would always change. Like, I feel like in a month, if it's an artist that you really love, in a week it could be different.
Yeah, it could be a different song for sure. Because like a week ago, Dark Fantasy in my mind was like my favorite Kanye West song ever. But yeah, it could definitely change.
I feel like, as long as we do podcasts through the NCAA tournament, we should bring a different bracket on every time and go through it.
Okay.
Like they do brackets for food and they do brackets for like travel. Yeah. I feel like we should.
I'd be down.
Digest
I'd
that.
I'd be down. I can be down and make Kansas City Barbecue a first round upset. And on that note,
I think we're done.
Yeah. No, enjoy California.
All right. Enjoy Nashville.
We will.
We'll have all your local coverage. I'm really happy. We're going to have a lot of local coverage. Kim and Hunter are going to be in Nashville, giving all the updates from the men's tournament. I'll be happy to do it from California. So we'll be following the Tigers as long as they are still alive. Follow us on Twitter and in the pages of the Tribune and at ColumbiaTribune.com, reading all about the Tigers. Thanks for listening today, and we'll catch you again next week.
Subscribe to Mizzou Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.